From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, where we are working to advance family, freedom, and life, and to keep you informed on the biggest news in government, policy, and culture from a biblical perspective. And on today's show, we are breaking down two big victories for religious freedom from the United States Supreme Court. We'll talk about what these decisions mean for people of faith and why they're good news for all Americans. It was another big week at the Supreme Court as the High Court finished out their term by releasing the few remaining opinions they had yet to issue, including two we've been watching closely and waiting for that directly impact the First Amendment and the rights of religious organizations to not be forced to violate their conscience by their own government. Both of these cases dealt with the freedom of religious institutions to follow their convictions, and in both cases, the court dealt strong 7-2 rulings in support of religious freedom. So, in two separate rulings last week, the court delivered important victories for religious freedom. And the first one we want to talk about, you might be familiar with. It involves the Little Sisters of the Poor. This was the case, Little Sisters of the Poor versus Pennsylvania. And in this case, the court ruled, again, by a 7-2 alignment, that the Trump administration had authority under the Affordable Care Act to provide exemptions from the regulatory contraceptive requirements for employers with religious and contentious objections. People didn't want to have to violate their conscience. So what this case is about is faith-based groups like Little Sisters of the Poor didn't want to be forced under the Affordable Care Act to have to provide coverage for contraceptives, including abortifacients, in their healthcare plans. And that's what Obamacare was trying to do, to force businesses and even organizations like Little Sisters of the Poor, Catholic nuns, to provide healthcare coverage for abortifacients. And so there's been ongoing litigation over this issue for years. And here we have the Supreme Court in a strong 7-2 decision saying, no, you can't force the Little Sisters of the Poor to have to provide healthcare coverage for abortion-inducing drugs. And Justice Clarence Thomas wrote the majority opinion for the court in this case, upholding the religious freedom rights of the Little Sisters of the Poor and, by extension, other faith-based groups and people who have conscience objections to providing healthcare coverage for abortion-inducing drugs. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Justice Sonia Sotomayor were the two Supreme Court justices who dissented in this case, and apparently believe that Catholic nuns should be forced to pay for abortifacients. And the nuns in this case, like dozens of other religious organizations, have been fighting for their rights since Obamacare was passed back in 2010. This is back when the Obama-era U.S. Department of Health and Human Services crafted a list of preventative services employers were required to include in company health care plans. The list included contraceptives, some of which could cause early abortions, plus sterilization. This list came to be known as the HHS mandate or contraceptive mandate. And since then, many faith-based employers who had never included those before in their health care plans objected. And after years of litigation and a victory in the lower federal courts for the Little Sisters of the Poor and other groups, the Trump administration attempted to expand the religious exemption to cover the various concerns. It also included moral objections to contraceptives in addition to religious ones. This exemption from the Trump administration was then challenged in federal court by a number of blue states, in this case being led by Pennsylvania. Justice Thomas's opinion for the Supreme Court concluded that the Trump administration's expansion of the religious and moral exemption was well within the authority granted to the Department of Health and Human Services by Congress. And if you get a chance, go read the opinion from Justice Thomas. It's excellent. It's so important. Everyone should read it. And this is quoting from the court's opinion written by Justice Thomas now. He writes for the court, "For over 150 years, the Little Sisters have engaged in faithful service and sacrifice, motivated by a religious calling to surrender all for the sake of their brother. They commit to constantly living out a witness that proclaims the unique and viable dignity of every person, particularly those whom others regard as weak or worthless. But for the past 7 years, they, like many other religious objectors who have participated in the litigation and rulemakings leading up to today's decision, have had to fight for the ability to continue in their noble work without violating their sincerely held religious beliefs. After two decisions from this court and multiple failed regulatory attempts, the federal government has arrived at a solution that exempts the Little Sisters from the source of their complicity-based concerns, the administratively imposed contraceptive mandate. We hold today that the departments had the statutory authority to craft that exemption, as well as the contemporaneously issued moral exemption. We further hold that the rules promulgating these exemptions are free from procedural defects. Therefore, we reverse the judgment of the Court of Appeals and remand the cases for further proceedings consistent with this opinion." And what does that mean? Well, legally speaking, the Little Sisters of the Poor are not out of the woods yet. As Justice Alito noted in his concurring opinion, the case now goes back to the lower federal courts, where blue state governments will likely continue to initiate lawsuits. And as Justice Alito points out, we are all but certain to see these states continue their argument that the current rule is flawed on yet another ground, and this will prolong the legal battle in which the Little Sisters have now been engaged for 7 years, even though during all this time, no employee of the Little Sisters has come forward with an objection to the Little Sisters' conduct. So although technically the legal battles will likely continue, this is still a huge victory for religious freedom, and one that should be celebrated, because certainly America, we shouldn't be having our own government harassing Catholic nuns. And I think here the court absolutely did the right thing by protecting the Little Sisters of the Poor from this unnecessary mandate that would have severely negatively impacted their ministry and their work serving the poor and elderly. There is no reason that the government needs to force nuns to distribute contraceptives and abortifacients. However, the state does need religious groups like the Little Sisters of the Poor to care for the elderly and the sick and the hungry. And so rather than trying to shut these faith groups down, they should be supporting them, because they provide vital services to our communities that benefit all people. And it was really fun last week to see, actually, one of the sisters of the Little Sisters of the Poor actually made an appearance on Fox News to talk about the Supreme Court's decision and what it means going forward. This is what Sister Constance had to say on Fox News about the decision.
Time a major win for religious liberty. The Supreme Court ruling in favor of the Little Sisters of the Poor, upholding religious and moral exemptions for birth control coverage.
That's right. That ruling also ended a years-long legal fight. And joining us live to react, Director of Communications for Little Sisters of the Poor, Sister Constance Veit. Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. Tell us what this Thank means you. To your organization.
Well, we were just so relieved to get this decision. It's been a very long battle for us, and we're just very grateful and relieved to be able to turn our attention completely back to caring for our elderly residents.
Yeah, I know that you've said that it would be unthinkable to go along with this mandate, but did it ever cross your mind what you would do if this ruling came down not in your favor?
Well, of course, it crossed our minds, but we trust completely in God's providence, and so we were really sure that if we remained faithful to our mission, God would take care of us in the end.
Tell us to the viewers that don't know. Tell us a little bit about what was mandated here, and what was trying to be done. What they were trying to force your organization to do.
Sure. So the contraceptive mandate required all employers to provide contraceptives, including abortifacients, for their employees in their health plans. I should say requires, because the contraceptive mandate still stands. We did not seek to strike it down. We were just asking for a religious exemption from it, because according to Catholic teaching, you know, we couldn't in conscience provide contraceptives and abortifacients. And the big issue for us was that for those who could not comply with the mandate, they were very significant fines. So for all of our sisters across the country, for all of our houses, it would have been about $70 million a year in fines. And that would essentially have, not that we're a business, but as the expression goes, it would have put us out of business. It would have had to end our ministry here in the United States, because obviously, you know, we couldn't afford fines like that. We rely on donations to make up about 50% of our operating expenses. So, you know, fines of $70 million are just unthinkable.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people actually first learned about the Little Sisters of the Poor through this court case. So for those that don't know, can you tell us a little bit about your mission and the good work that you do?
Sure. So we were founded in France back in the 19th century. And we've been in the United States for 152 years. We came in 1868. And our mission has always been to care for the needy elderly. So all of our residents are low-income seniors who would not be able to afford care in other types of facilities. And here in the United States, all of our homes provide multi-levels of care so that we can care for the seniors who are independent but need financial assistance, as well as those who are quite infirm and frail.
Yeah, it's a wonderful organization. We have a reaction here from Joe Biden running for president. I am disappointed in today's U.S. Supreme Court decision that will make it easier for the Trump-Pence administration to continue to strip health care from women. There is a clear path to fixing it, electing a president who will end Donald Trump's ceaseless attempts to gut every aspect of the Affordable Care Act. Saw one tweet yesterday. Somebody was outraged over this ruling, saying that none should have no say in reproductive rights. How do you respond to a tweet like that?
Well, you know, we are just protecting, we're just trying to protect our own religious liberty and to safeguard ourselves from having to violate our Catholic faith. We're not out to hurt anybody. We weren't out to dismantle the Affordable Care Act. We just wanted our own religious liberty respected.
Well, this was a seven-year decision in the making. It all came down yesterday in your favor, and I'm sure that you're thanking God for that, and we thank you for coming on and talking to us this morning about it.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
So there you go, straight from the Little Sisters of the Poor. Very well said. This is such an important decision and victory for religious freedom, and as the Alliance Defending Freedom said in a statement they released upon seeing the Supreme Court's decision, the government has no business forcing pro-life and religious organizations to provide drugs and devices that can destroy life. HHS designed its protections to be consistent with previous Supreme Court rulings and ensure that such organizations can pursue their mission consistent with their beliefs as the First Amendment allows. The Supreme Court was right to reject each and every one of the grounds that the lower court of appeals used to strike down those protections. The states that challenged the new HHS rules from the Trump administration were unable to find a single individual plaintiff who was allegedly harmed by the religious and moral exemptions. That shows that contraceptives are widely available and that there is no compelling reason for governments to violate the religious and moral convictions of organizations who don't wish to provide abortifacients to their employers. So what this means here is that the Supreme Court has said the new rules to protect religious and moral objections to providing abortifacients and healthcare coverage, that is constitutional. The Trump administration acted within their authority to create and implement that exemption, and that they are remanding that case back down to the lower court to reconsider their previous rulings in light of what the Supreme Court has said here in a strong 7-2 decision. And that's good news. But it wasn't the only good news we got for religious freedom last week from the Supreme Court. In another major case, the Supreme Court handed down a victory for religious schools by affirming their right to hire and fire teachers without being subject to employment discrimination claims, and thereby reaffirming the right of religious schools to be able to make sure that the people that they are hiring and bringing in to teach the students in their schools, that those teachers are teaching things consistent with the religious school's beliefs. And so this case centered around whether elementary school teachers at Catholic schools are classified as ministers for the purpose of employment discrimination claims. And in this decision, the Supreme Court concluded that courts can't second-guess the decisions by religious institutions to classify their teachers as ministers. The court said that judges are bound to stay out of employment disputes between churches and other religious institutions because of the First Amendment. Justice Alito delivered the majority opinion and was joined by Chief Justice John Roberts and Justices Thomas, Breyer, Kagan, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh. And again, the two dissenting justices were Sotomayor and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Justice Alito wrote in the court's majority opinion that the religious education and formation of students is the very reason for the existence of most private religious schools, and therefore the selection and supervision of the teachers upon whom the schools rely to do this work lie at the core of their mission. Judicial review of the way in which religious schools discharge those responsibilities would undermine the independence of religious institutions in a way that the First Amendment does not tolerate. And this decision matters because it continues to give churches and religious institutions, including private schools, it continues to give them a wide latitude in determining who they trust to properly and accurately teach their faith. And this again just reiterates why the United States Constitution is the greatest political document ever written, and that because we have the First Amendment, it bars, it prevents the government from interfering with religious groups and churches and schools, their employment decisions, including regarding its ministers and how they teach and what they teach. And in other words, the Supreme Court has ruled in accordance with one of the primary purposes of the First Amendment. And this is a really important decision because it once again demonstrates that the Supreme Court is going to respect the autonomy of faith-based schools and prevent the government from interfering with the internal operations and autonomy of religious organizations. And so Jim Daly, the president of Focus on the Family, he wrote an op-ed about these two decisions and very appropriately stated that it would be impossible to overstate the importance of these two decisions because they both acknowledge and protect religious rights and conscience, the foundational principles dating back to our nation's founding. He goes on to say that the high court's rulings are not just an important victory for religious schools and a noble religious order and other faith-based groups being discriminated against. It's a triumph for one of our nation's most important founding principles, the inalienable right of religious freedom upon which our republic rests. Both rulings are significant victories for all people who understand the unique essence of America's founding, and especially for people of faith who also hold in high regard and respect the First Amendment. We all suffer when the government or activist courts decide that religious freedom should take a back seat to the sexual revolution and a worldview that attempts to force people to abandon deeply held religious beliefs. The Supreme Court's decisions restore some hopeful optimism that the freedom of religion and rights of conscience still command the respect they deserve in our pluralistic society. So we are very encouraged by these two decisions and hope that you are as well. One of the most important reasons we should care about this and the laws that our government passes and the court rulings that impact, the freedoms that we have or don't have, is because as believers, we should care because we are called to honor God and to love our neighbor. And the laws our government passes and doesn't pass directly impact the lives of our families, our neighbors, and the church. Every single law endorses and enforces a belief system. And as Christians living in a constitutional republic, we have the freedom to help decide whose it will be. We know that it's the gospel and not government that can change the human heart. But this doesn't mean that Christians should avoid government and politics. I think a big temptation can be to avoid these things because they're difficult and controversial. And again, we know that government isn't what, at the end of the day, is going to change people's hearts. But that's not what government was created to do. The Bible is clear that God created the family unit. He created his church. And according to Romans 13, God created government to reward good and punish evil. The family, church, and government were all created by God for distinct purposes. And human flourishing is most possible when all three of these institutions function as God intended. We are to be salt and light in our communities, and we are to make disciples of all nations. Doing these things and living out your faith and proclaiming the gospel does not and should not require neglect of civic stewardship. We should never place our hope in what happens politically instead of in Christ. But the proper response to idolatry isn't apathy. It's better balance. It's keeping our eyes on eternity. It's placing our hope in God, and it's fulfilling our civic responsibilities that God has entrusted to us. That's our show for this week. To stay up to date on the latest news impacting family, freedom, and life, and to learn how you can partner with Nebraska Family Alliance to defend life, religious freedom, and family values, visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for the Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.